Mr. Atkin, Reel 23. Would you like to continue with the recitation?
Okay. The next one I entitled it If. If you tripped and you fell, if you sneezed on a pell, if your hunger had caused you to sway, if you thought you could cope, if you gave up all hope, if you thought, if your thinking had stopped, if you trusted your luck or believed that a prayer would help, if your faith was not yet with the dead or was dead and could never revive, if you couldn't forget how it was, or you thought that it never had been, if your mind was disturbed by the facts, or it couldn't adjust to the scene, if you could not be there, yet unseen, both alert and yet numbed, camouflaged and submerged in the crowd, if your pride or your hate or your shame caught the eye of the guard, you were gone with the speed of a shot, with the speed of a bullet in flight. I try to express what happened when you were in the camp. You had to sort of merge with the crowd, not to stand out, not to express your emotion, be alert, be on guard, knew what was going on, and yet be indifferent, be numbed to your feeling. If you dwelt too much upon the past or the future, you were in danger of not being able to survive. The next one is called From Slime. From slime in blood to the spasmodic pangs of pain, head first, you're thrust into our midst, held upside down and slapped to utter your pathetic cry, the first. If I should die in some forsaken corner of the globe that for a while re-echoed to the sounds of war, and you should find my mutilated corpse, don't try to gather up my torn remains to have them buried with a military pomp. Don't pin a medal on my silenced chest. Forget the gun salute, the bugle call, the wreath, those props designed to glamorize the mess of it, to hide the pity of it all. Just let me lie where death had struck her blow, and let the sun and rain, the snow, a carrion belt perhaps, reduce me back to dust, that dust from which we came, to which we must return. But if a speech is to be made, or stone to mark the place, say this and write in letters 10 feet tall, he died in vain. One more along the path the human race has blundered on and on. I'm trying to say that the opposite to what is normally said about the military pomp, the putting medals on the dead corpses and the glory, and I consider people who die during the war, they die in vain. I know it's difficult in some conditions. We had to fight Hitler, and many people died, and yet I think it's important to all the people I've seen who died around me. I cannot feel anything else but they think that they died in vain, for no purpose. They didn't serve any purpose to anybody. This one I've rewritten a few times, but there are many of them which I sort of revised many, many times, but the gist is the same. I knew the time. I knew the time when this my body was the hunter's prize, when I was marked by hate to die. Two yellow stars were pinned upon my chest and back. And yet, though men decided that my end had come, death let me through her fingers slip to run a little further on. And ever since I've wondered why, what was her purpose and her aim? And then I heard fate's echo answer in reply, no choice, no purpose and no aim. Death is as impotent as you and I. This one's called Justice. She flees to hide her head in shame wherever power strides to rule, to judge, and does so in her name. She flees to hide amongst the poor and the dispossessed. No eyebrow raised to disapprove, no word was said aloud, no finger lifted to object, they knew. Where does one place 6 million living Jews? Now, never again. This is the sort of saying that you hear in Israel. So I wrote a poem. And entitled Never Again. We saw our world collapse in clouds of dust and a new order take its place, the thousand-year Reich. A voice of hate announced that our end was near, and yet inside the cattle tracks, beneath the shadow of a crooked cross, a birth took place, an oath. Never again. Never again the gallows and the chambers, the walking dead with their unfocused eyes. Never again, so long as we remember to stand on guard with faith in our own strength. Never again the scapegoat of the nations, reviled, accused of every crime that hatred could invent. Never again that never-ending patience, that other cheek, that endless sacrifice. Never again the helpless to the slaughter, caught unawares, castrated, shorn of pride. Never again, so long as we remember those ghetto days, that final night and fog. Not in. Not in the news whose headlines scream at you from every side. Not in the sermons which the preachers preach, nor in the prayers you recite at night, nor in the politician's speech before the voting starts, not in the song the singer sings with all her heart, the answers neither here nor there, nor blowing in the wind, my friend, nor blowing in the wind. Not I to bow, not I to bow before another man, living or dead, not I to kiss his hand or robe, his feet, the ground he walks upon. For should I love him best, will I not love his neighbor less? Not man. I can't believe the latest was the last, that man has learned the lesson of the past. I can't believe that this is more than just a pause, the quiet of before the storm. The lion that has burned his paw will fear flames, not man. Solidarność. Red letters splashed like blood on virgin snow, spelled Solidarność, meaning SOS. and stuck on walls, on placards 10 feet tall, on canvas stretched across the streets, on badges proudly worn upon their chests. Their cry for help was sent across the world. And then the tanks began to roll. Progress. Millions of years since our evolution from the apes, a millennium of civilization and of Christian faith, decades of justice and enlightened thought. Here is the outcome and the latest phase, Auschwitz and Buchenwald. Reality. There is more bread and other food. The cold and hunger are subdued and fear is less. More air to breathe, more room to walk, and time to think. The threat of death, it seems far away, and hate is less, or more concealed, and yet is now or then that's real. Remember those who grinned when times were grim, who joked and made you laugh. Those really strong and tough who never did give in. Remember those who sang, those still able to sing. What memories they stirred and tears. And those who fooled like clowns. What did Pagliacci say? I think his was a lie. Remember friendship which survived each and every test until the one of you or both were laid to final rest. And love, what trials has she undergone and passed and left us strandled and alone. This one I remembered. There were, when we were in the camps, although the situation was very grim, there was a sense of humor. People were joking and singing. And at night, when we lay on the banks, there was one of my friends who was singing. I didn't know about the On with the Motley, you know, from Pagliacci. But he sang the tune and Polish words. He had a very good voice. And after the war, when I heard On with the Motley, I recognized the tune. But the words were, of course, the Italian words were completely different. And he didn't survive. And that's what I tried to convey, that there was friendship, there was a sense of humor, there was singing, even at the most terrible moments. So little's changed. Right now the boot is on the other foot. The whip is gripped in someone else's palm. Another finger pulls the trigger of a gun. Another thumb draws out the pin to toss the hand grenade. So little's changed. See, I am no longer in the danger spot, but there is always somewhere in the world, this something of the same nature is going on. Silence, death at work. The hateful smile of bloodshot steel blue eyes beneath a grey-green cap, a bark of Allerjudenraus and Hände hoch. A kick, a shove and march. Don't fall, not yet. Then shots and cries, undress, but schnell, line up. The rattle of a gun behind. Grey acrid smoke, black darkness, silence, death at work. So long as so long as men whose hands are steeped in blood are our leaders, so long as we regard as heroes those who kill, so long as power means a finger on the trigger and mad asylums are with poets filled, so long as fear grips us with an iron clasp and bloodless lips repeat that phrases of the past, so long and just so long, our slavery will last. I'm not so happy about the second stanza, about the beginning. I feel our leaders have blood on their hands almost everywhere, and that is the tragedy. And the butcher of Sobibor. I had my orders, I obeyed. Lie there, we lost. No biting nails, no wringing hands, no banging head against the wall, no sleepless nights, no qualms, and no regrets. He who did butcher thousands there in Sobibor, so calm, sane and composed, so normal, so mundane, so dull, and then escaped, assisted by the Vatican, across the seas, to lead a quiet and a peaceful life for many years to come. What else is there still left to say? The Gypsy Camp, Lodz, 1942. The bundle fell close to his straw-clad feet. He stamped the frozen snow, took aim and kicked. The bundle flew and fell. He kicked again, until the ragdoll shape was caught suspended halfway up the barbed wire fence. Inside the bundle was a gypsy child. And those who lived nearby and had to pass along the road that wound itself beside the camp would hear muffled cries to strains of gypsy violins. They chose the ghetto's less salubrious part, its outer edge, beside the road that led towards the cemetery gate. Behind it, on the Aryan side, as far as eyes could see, there lay the snow-clad fields of central Poland's plains. They chose a spot away from Aryan gaze. We did not count. Away from eyes that might observe the crime and then survive to tell the tale. Barbed wire stretched round the small compound of half a dozen blocks of flats, three-story high. All the window panes were smashed, all furniture removed and burned. Next day the first convoy arrived. Men and women with their young came to spend their last remaining days. And those who lived nearby or had to pass close to the guards who stood in straw-clad boots and stamped the frozen ground could hear muffled cries to strains of gypsy violins. On the third day, a cripple van pulled up inside the camp. The time was ripe. A dozen men got out, dressed all in black, close-fitting overalls, black gloves, black balaclavas hid their heads with slits for eyes. They entered, armed with knives. And those who lived nearby or dared to pass along the road that led towards the cemetery gate could hear muffled cries to strains of gypsy violins. And those who dared to look could see a heap of crumpled bodies lying in the snow. Journey. However bright the vistas on the way, however long and comfortable a ride you might expect, knowing the destination in advance, the journey's end, would you have bought the ticket for the trip if you were sober when the act took place? the lullaby. The hand of death caressed my face and rocked my cradle perched over the precipice. I suckled milk, black milk of barren breast, and drank my fill. Sieg Heil, my lullaby's refrain, Sieg Heil. Why did you guide me through the wilderness? Why did you find me there amongst the reeds? The list. Bare twisted hands, sharp nails and teeth, hard wooden clubs and rocks, and hewed and sharpened stone, spears and swords, thin poisoned arrows and taut bows. Knives of all shapes, of every size and sort, for sport, defense, attack on man and beast. The cross, the rope, the stake, the rack, the gin, hot tar, guns, powder, water, fire, gas and germs. The atom bomb, the neutron, and the hydrogen, the XY bomb, an endless list to fill. Man's strange response and faith in his command that states, "Thou shalt not kill." The mind forgets. The mind forgets the hunger when you ate the last spoonful of soup, the moment when the empty pot refused to yield another drop, the cold when you at last have found a warmer place beside the stove. The mind forgets the lies that never slept, the cry of alle Juden raus. The mind forgets the silence when the bullets cease to fly, the joy of walking out without the yellow stars upon your back and chest. How soon the mind forgets. The news. What is the news? Who's killing whom and why? Whose necks entangled in a noose? Whose body in the cold canal? Who says, unless our demands are met in full, whose patience at an end? Who will not rest unless, till then until, whose honor is at stake, who won't be trifled with? Don't listen, friend, there is no news. For there is nothing new beneath the sun. The faces change, the masks, the names. But as the saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The Musulman, the goner. Your feet were meant for swelling and stumbling through the fog and dragging, wrapped in rags and tripping laden clogs. Your knees were both for bending and taking faltering steps. Your hands were both for stretching, for reaching emptiness. Your eyes were for unseeing through darkness, mist and smog. Your body was for burning to ashes like a log. And I am like a candle that burns a little longer before it is snuffed out, that flickers as it wanders. What is this all about? The pious first. And he who prayed from dawn to dusk to his revengeful, jealous, silent God, who wore his Jude, in its Gothic script upon his chest and back, his badge of shame, as he who placed his trust in his uncompromising, fearless hands, whose God mit uns would shine upon the buckle of his belt. Both lost to time, the pious first, the other afterwards. And you, whom death has spelled a while, whom luck has placed outside the reach of hate, don't gloat, self-righteous and content, but thank some deity for your luck and ponder on man's lot of strange and fathoms, twists of fate. Through eyes chastised, past vanity, past pride, we saw the death of hope, and now we look at life through eyes chastised, past screens of smoke recast, refined in fires of the Holocaust. August 30, 1939. While Europe held its breath, he tossed and turned. That night he could not sleep. He knew the time was ripe for all that pent-up hate to be released. He bathed in sweat. But if the Russians should attack, they've signed a pact. But what are pacts? He smiled beneath his breath. He must be swift and crush the Poles with one decisive blow. That surely would impress old Joe. He looked up at the sky. Was he not guided by his lucky star? How high he'd risen since the Vienna days, and how they laughed at him when he was jailed. Mein Kampf explained it all. And step by step, wasn't it coming true? But what if England should decide on war? His hands began to shake. The Jews will pay. They won't rejoice. He clasped his left hand in his right and paced the floor. There's no return, no backing down, no loss of face. The German honor, the only way is forward. A strange foreboding crossed his mind. Dismissing it, he rang the bell. Attack begins at dawn, as planned. They burn children, don't they? Put on another pair of clogs. Put mine on top of yours. Don't say you're only 12. Pretend you're more and rub your cheeks. Stand up and lift your head. Don't say you are my son. We're brothers or two friends, or better still, let's stand apart. Let's stay apart. The children going to the left. Keep right. Relax and smile. Pretend that you can work. The queue moves fast and now you are in front. Nobody asks. A button swings, you left, you right, you freeze and dare not look, are pushed, you have been judged. This happened in many cases where a father and son were found in a selection. The son was too young, he only knew in the last few seconds what to do or what to say. Someone gave advice. Say you are a tradesman, say you can. You are a shoemaker or a carpenter. And when the child was 12, say you are 15, stand on your toes, you know, lift yourself, stand on a stone. So I try to kind of to describe it in a